The catechism reading as it's printed there on page 5. The fourth commandment.
Honor your father and mother.
What does this mean? Courthouses still recognize the validity of the fourth commandment, whether or not they display the rest of them. If your minor child has to appear, you're required to be there too. It takes a court order to ignore the fourth commandment. You can't just decide not to be the parent of a minor child. The courthouse still takes the fourth commandment seriously. Do you? There is no age limit, you know. The fourth commandment applies even when children are no longer minors. The fourth commandment is serious to Jesus. He used it to convict the rich young man and to denounce the Pharisees. The fourth commandment is serious because it makes parents gods. So watch out, kids. That's right, you disobey your parents, you disobey God Almighty. That's what the order of the Ten Commandments teaches us. The first three are about our relationship to God. The first commands us to have God in our heart, soul, and mind. The second, to have God on our lips. The third, to have God in our ears. The commandments speak about God, 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 and then parents. Our large catechism says this: in this way, God separates and distinguishes father and mother from all other persons upon the earth and places them by his side. The truth is that the general disobedience and disregard that kids show their parents in back-talking, ignoring, or disrespecting, that indicates they've fallen away from God, not a lack of love for mom and dad. Kids don't, as the explanation begins, fear and love God. And so, they think little of despising and angering parents and other authorities. Kids don't see God Almighty in their parents and other authorities, so it's no big deal not to honor, serve, or obey them. The divine, the eternal, the other world just isn't a part of their world of instant communication and gratification. So they think it no big deal not to love and cherish God's representatives in their world. Well, kids, cover your eyes and get set for an early death. Cover your eyes because Proverbs 30:17 promises, "The eye that mocks a father, that scorns obedience to a mother, will be pecked out by the ravens of the valley and will be eaten by the vultures." That was in the 1943 catechism. The 1991 left it out. I guess they thought it was just too gruesome for kids raised with slasher movies and graphic video games. But it should give kids pause. If mocking, scorning eyes get that treatment, what about back-talking mouths and disobedient hands? Guard not just your eyes, kids, but get ready to die early. This commandment says, "Honor your father and your mother, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the land." The Large Catechism says, "Whoever is disobedient shall perish sooner and never enjoy life." You know why? Because in disobeying parents, you are not disobeying men, but God. And while you may be able to hide your mocking, scornful eyes from mom and dad, you can no more hide your sins from God than Judas could. Although no one else knew what Judas was up to, the God-man Jesus did. See how Jesus tries to bring Judas back from the edge of hell? He doesn't want him to take that one step that's just too far away. And so Jesus wants to call you back from your sins against the fourth commandment. The fourth commandment is serious because it makes parents gods. So watch out, kids, and watch out, parents. Don't sacrifice your children to idols. What? I do no such thing. I'd never do such a thing. Oh, yes you do, says Luther. I'm quoting. What else is it but to sacrifice one's own child to an idol and burn it when parents train their children more in the love of the world than in the love of God? That's what you're doing when you train your child to break the third commandment by coming to church only when you feel like it. When you train them to brush their teeth each night, but not to pray. When you make sure they know their address and phone number, but not a word of the catechism or Bible. What you are doing, unfaithful parent, is purchasing hell for yourself. This is what we confess to believe in the Large Catechism. I quote, "Consider now what deadly harm you are doing if you are negligent and fail on your part to bring up your children to usefulness and piety. Consider how you bring upon yourself all sin and wrath, earning hell by your own children, even though you are otherwise pious and holy." Luther says elsewhere that parents who will not bring up children in the faith are like fire that will not burn and water that is not wet. They aren't doing the one thing God put them on earth to do. But we parents no more think we are capable of earning hell by our parenting than the disciples thought they could betray Jesus. You know from what is coming that every single one of them is going to betray Jesus. Yet when he warns them all of it, they all say, one after the another, "Surely not I, Lord." Every one of us has earned hell by the way we've raised our children. When we see that the things of God aren't first place in their lives, it's because they weren't first in ours. And maybe they weren't even in our lives. Well, there is no hope, there's no help for us under this commandment in our parenting or in our honoring our father and mother. There's only judgment and early death and eternal hell. Our salvation is not in the fact that the fourth commandment makes parents gods, but in the fact that the true God is both a perfect parent and a perfect child. You know those touching movie scenes where the father can't hug his imprisoned son, either because the son is behind bars, glass, or the police won't allow touching? It's heart-wrenching. The father still loves the son, even though the son has seriously sinned against him. This was us over against the true God. Our sinful parenting or disobedience as kids left us imprisoned by the law. Yet God so loved the world that he wanted to hug us. He wanted to embrace us. But Johnny Law wouldn't let him do it. The law convicts us of our sins and sinfulness. And the holy God cannot even touch sin or sinfulness. Our text is the official record of the perfect Son taking the last steps of full obedience. The Passover meal was a big celebration. It was like a holiday meal of yours. It was a time of family, of happiness, food, and drink. Have you ever had one of those kind of meals before a loved one or yourself had to have a serious operation? How about before he went to the gas chamber? Well, Jesus says that's what's going on here. I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Having been the perfect person, parent, child, breaking no law that could imprison him, fully being able to be hugged by the Father, Jesus takes upon himself the suffering we deserve for the way we raised our kids and disobeyed our parents. Let me try to convey what's going on by means of the delope. The delope is a French word. It means throwing away. In dueling, after the command that meant fire was given, one of the parties could throw away his shot by firing into the air, firing into the ground, or firing way wide of the mark. He could only do this, according to most traditions, after he gave his opponent a chance to first fire at him. So here's the scene. You are face to face with God the Father. The command to fire is given, and you raise your pistol. You aim at God's center mass, and you gladly pull the trigger. But you miss. It's the Father's turn now. He brings His pistol up on you to shoot you with pain in time and pain, everlasting pain in eternity. To hit you with judgment, death, and hell. But what's this? The Father turns the pistol away from you. But instead of firing into the ground or into the air or wide of the mark, He shoots His only beloved Son dead. A look of why? How could you? Spreads across the Son's face as He slumps to the ground. And rather than rushing over to His perfect Son, the Father rushes over to hug you. All the laws that prevented God from hugging you have been kept. The prison bars have melted and the glass shattered by the blood of Jesus. What fourth or any other commandment? The Father can now embrace you as He wanted to from eternity. Are you ready to turn the corner now? Are you ready to see how the grace and forgiveness of the gospel puts a different look on this law? Ready to stop being accused by the fourth commandment and to start using it? Ready to sing with Rita Coolidge, "Your love has lifted me higher than I've ever been lifted before." Rather than seeing authority as weighing you down, see it like helium balloons. Parents, teachers, bosses, government are given by God's love, not to oppress you, but to lift you higher and higher. If they should oppress you, well, God Himself makes them answer for it. Learn from your parenthood the depths of God's love for you. It was only when I became a father that I had the sense of what parental love really meant. I would do anything, sacrifice everything, suffer all things to provide and protect my children. If I, a sinful, fallen, weak mortal, could do that, what must God the Father feel towards me? If the sins of my kids couldn't move me to cast them off, how could my sins move the Heavenly Father to do that? Especially since He gave up His only beloved Son to pay for my sins. What about kids? Where is the gospel power in the fourth commandment for them? Jesus can only be the wrath-removing sacrifice for our sins against the fourth commandment because He was the perfect kid. 18 long years of Jesus' life are under this one sentence in Luke 2. Jesus went down unto Nazareth and was subject to His parents. Jesus knows what it's like to live under the authority of sinful, fallen parents. He knows they can be unfair, unwise, and yes, even unloving. He bids you follow His steps and promises grace and every blessing in them. It's probably true that your parents don't really remember what it means to be a kid, but Jesus has never forgotten. The rift, the distance, the gap between fathers and sons, mothers and daughters. That's the subject of Old Testament truth, Greek legends, and modern movies and songs. But the fourth commandment doesn't focus on the gap, but on the gift of parenthood and childhood. Yes, there is godlike responsibility in the relationship between these. But focus on the fact that whether you are parent or child is first of all a gift of God. If we sinners don't give gifts to people to burden and annoy them, you can be sure God doesn't do that either. Amen. We continue now with the offer.